go.
Good evening. Welcome to the December 5th, 2019 meeting of the Glendale Arts Commission at the Glendale Public Library. Calling the meeting to order. Our next order of business will be a roll call. So we'll start to my right. Sorry, my right. I know my right from my left.
Mark Fast, Commissioner.
Bernadette Bolognini, Co-Chair.
Joni Dingus, Commissioner.
Cookie Peverini, Commissioner.
Nicole Riley, Commissioner.
Tom Cole, and I'm the Chair. We also have staff here, so please.
Mojka Malabzadeh.
And Jana Weldon.
And then we have some other staff and guests here as well. Our next order of business is citizen comments. Are there any citizen speaker cards for today? Okay. Is there anybody else that would like to speak during the citizen comments section? Seeing none, we'll move forward to approval of the minutes from the October 24th meeting. Has everybody had a chance to review the minutes? I personally didn't see anything I would change. If everybody's comfortable with the minutes as written, I'll entertain a motion and a second to approve the minutes.
I move to approve the minutes of October 24th, 2019.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of approving the minutes as written, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, minutes are approved. Thank you. New business, item number five. We have an action item, the Centerline District Arts and Culture Initiative Project Proposal Presentation from Relby Theater. Easy for me to say, Relby Theater.
Yes, so thank you very much, Tom. We have Brian from Relby Theater here, and Brian, at your convenience, do you have a presentation or are you going to be just speaking?
I was just going to speak to you.
Okay, go for it.
We know Brian.
So maybe
you can come forward. Yeah, because that little microphone is going
to
have to pick
up. Oh, I got five stories.
Stage voice.
All right, good evening. My name is Brian Matisik. I'm the executive director and co-founder of the Relby Theater Company. We're coming back to apply for this wonderful funding opportunity again to provide free art to the city of Glendale in the Centerline District. The past 3 years, we've offered a Shakespeare in the Park event, which has been well received every year. We've had an incredible amount of engagement from artists and community. Depending on weather and other factors, we've had as few as 40 people in the audience and as many as 150 to 200. It's Arizona, so that's the nature of the downtown walkable areas. So this year we're proposing doing something a little different. We are, as a theater company and organization, focused primarily on newer work, paying homage to the classics, but looking forward in theater as opposed to looking back. So while we have done Shakespeare in the Park as our last several years of our event, we wanted to find a way to kind of transition to and expose more contemporary work to the community. So we are looking this year to present free and open to the public in the Centerline District, Shakespeare in Love, the stage adaptation of the Tom Stoppard film of the same name, which is kind of the next logical step for free Shakespeare for the community, but bring it into a contemporary lens, which then opens the window down the road to start training the audience to realize that there is wonderful new art that has been written more recently than 600 years ago. Which, from our perspective, fostering new work is what is the lifeblood and the future of art. Just like anything else, we have to foster new art so that there is a future in it, because Shakespeare is wonderful and gateway into the art, a great way to train, but we also have to foster something for the new artists that are up and coming to look forward to and to create in their own right. In the past, we have worked very closely with the city departments to make sure that we could circumvent hurdles and learn from each year moving forward to make sure we can be more successful and have a smoother process. One of the two things we wanted to explore this year with the grant were figuring out a way to engage the community more, along with if we use the amphitheater as a theater under the stars type event, to possibly try to engage with the high schools and have them perform what's called a green show. So that would be a small performance before the main stage production as a way to engage younger artists in the community. It kind of taps into the educational opportunity and look into the potential of fostering potentially some like arts-based vendors and things like that to make a little bit more of a festival feel. Those are things we're interested in exploring, not necessarily 100% committed to, but as a way to look forward to what this could become down the line if we continue this as an annual event offering free art to the public. The amphitheater is a wonderful space that has some serious limitations and challenges associated with it, and we are definitely sensitive to those. The other thing we did want to explore is the Centerline grant specifically calls for the events to be in the Centerline district, which our theater is. And we've had great success previously with having grant-funded shows in our own space. For reference, was it last Christmas? I think it was the Christmas, no, it was last Christmas. We offered an original contemporary show that was written by one of our artists last year that was funded by a separate grant from the city, and it was one of our most well-attended shows ever. It was actually better attended than our Shakespeare in the Park event in the amphitheater. By offering a longer run in our space because we didn't have to compete with other uses in the amphitheater. Mm-hmm. So it's something we were also open to exploring depending on what the board was most comfortable with. We're happy to continue performing in the amphitheater if that's the case, but if we move into the theater, we can run it for a longer time, making it free for the entire run. It also costs less to produce sets in the theater as opposed to the amphitheater, which means we could allocate more of that funding towards paying artists as opposed to paying city staff to babysit us while we're in the amphitheater. We're happy to pursue both and want to do whatever is best in the artistic cultural fabric of Glendale, but those are the things we're interested in exploring along with this grant. Any questions?
Has this adaptation been performed before?
Yes, so it is not a world premiere. It is licensed through Sam French. And we originally were planning on applying to perform this in April, but the city has locked up April for music events in the amphitheater. So we actually are in process of waiting for the rights to be reissued because the date window we originally applied for, we can't do that in the amphitheater currently. So we are waiting for reapproval to shift the dates we have been approved for to another time, at which point we would lock in the amphitheater or plan for the theater and that nature. But it is a nationally recognized play that's been receiving wonderful press nationwide wherever it's been performed. It's been performed in many universities, several community theaters, and lots of regional theaters.
Okay. How much longer would it run in your own theater than it would in the amphitheater?
For perspective, in the amphitheater, we would be planning to run it for a week.
Okay.
So 4 to 5 performances, depending on the availability of the amphitheater. So rehearsals, load in, rehearse for several days, make sure all the tech works, perform for 3 to 5 days. If it's at Burlby proper, we'd be performing for 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay.
So the difference is it allows word of mouth, there's ample seating available, it provides more flexibility for people to be able to come out. The nature of the Catlin Court area that we're in also enables that if we wanted to continue pursuing the green shows or the festival atmosphere, Catlin Court is already prone to that and does several events. We have a courtyard in which we can have pop-up artists and things of that nature as well. Mm-hmm. So it's the nature of the event we're trying to do would work in both locations, but it would provide a much larger opportunity over a longer period of time to do it at the theater as opposed to the amphitheater. Mm-hmm. The benefit of the amphitheater is we can accommodate a lot more people at once. Whereas Burlby, we can only accommodate up to about 70 at a time. So we would have a way to reserve tickets for free, but you can check in online or you can check in at the door. As long as there's empty seats, anyone can come in. But that can run for a longer time in the theater, or we can just have throngs of people potentially come to the amphitheater all at one time. The challenge with the amphitheater of 1 week is you don't have the benefit of word of mouth. So generally with theater, you open a show, people talk about it, and subsequent weeks you get more people coming down the pipeline.
And weather wouldn't be a condition, correct?
Weather would not be a condition. So if it rains, we don't have to cancel the show or risk artists slipping and being angry at me.
And it's more comfortable inside the building anyway.
Correct,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Can
for the audience.
Some of your limitations from your past experience at the
sure.
amphitheater?
So some of the major limitations from the amphitheater use are restrooms, clearly. The only restrooms that are available to audience members are connected to the Volunteer, which The city has taken a lot of steps to make safer and cleaner recently, but at the time, the conditions of those were not something I would recommend my mother or
children
relatives go into alone necessarily. Improvements have been made there, which is wonderful, but backstage there's also no restroom for the actors or artists unless you rent additional space, which also requires
more money
from the grant funding, and then you also have to pay for more city staff to watch you while you're there, for security purposes, for protection of the building, everything else. Beyond that, you have to have a city staffer watching you, so with using the amphitheater, between the supplemental insurance for the space and the special event, and just paying someone to sit on their phone every second we're in the amphitheater, you're spending anywhere between 5% and 10% of the grant just paying the city back. We would love to take that money and inflate what we can offer stipends for the artists who are performing the show. Beyond that, the curtain situation is not ideal in the space. Sound is a challenge in the space.
Yeah.
A huge portion of the grant has to go towards either bringing in sound equipment or using what you have and crossing your fingers that nothing goes bad because you can't afford to replace it. Projection only goes so far in that space because it acts as a wind tunnel, which can wash some stuff out. There's also been scheduling conflicts occasionally. None of these are insurmountable. They're more of logistical headaches from a producer standpoint that cause midweek phone calls when people don't realize that a set is in place for the whole duration of a run, and they want you to shift the whole thing 20 feet so they can power wash the cement in the middle of your run. Which is why last year we met with all of the stakeholders months in advance to lay out, this is exactly what we're planning, this is how we would like to avoid everything, but the nature of using a space like that, you have to load in, load out, you have to be out by 10 o'clock so you can't run late loading out if there's any unexpected situations. So. Which these are all things that, again, they're headaches more than major issues, but they're things I would love to see the city, and with the change in special events and how it's being operated, I'm sure it's going to find streamlining and improvements as we go, and I know they're planning on doing upgrades, which we're very excited for downtown, but we're not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm. So how many shows a day are there?
Well, that depends. If we do it in the amphitheater, we would only do evening shows because it doesn't do any good to light a show at 2 o'clock in the afternoon if you're outside. And to put it in context, people are more familiar with lighting for a play is kind of like the cinematography in a movie. It's what helps elicit emotion and direct the audience on what they're supposed to be paying attention to. When we perform at Burrellby, we offer matinees on Saturdays and Sundays. So we would perform in the evening, Fridays and Saturdays, and Saturday and Sundays would be a 2 o'clock matinee as well. Mm-hmm. Depending on the given nature, we also sometimes perform on Thursdays. If we perform in the amphitheater, we would perform Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and break down like the wind right after the Sunday show.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's appropriate for what age group would you say?
It's like a PG, soft PG-13. It's a general audience show. It's to be blunt with the subtext and text of Shakespeare, most PG-13 is milder than most Shakespeare if you look at the text. But it's a show that appeals to general audiences with nothing inappropriate or lewd or anything of that nature.
But probably no field trips.
But what?
But probably no field trips or anything.
I wouldn't necessarily say that.
Okay.
It would be appropriate for high school groups, absolutely.
Yeah.
Some
for
middle school groups as well.
DLA and all those.
Yeah, even more than that, because it's Shakespeare in Love and not a Shakespeare text.
Okay.
It's something that appeals to a lot of people that maybe would be turned off by Shakespeare because it's a contemporary work. It's about Shakespeare writing these shows, and it's historical fiction about him and his time, and it has. Great female representation and comments on the period and comments on the current period. It's a wonderful show. And it's very creative and theatrical in its telling, like actors becoming scenery and use of simple props to make things that are more fantastical than they appear. So it kind of invites the audience to imagine along with it.
Awesome.
So, which is kind of our aesthetic.
What's your...
Right?
Brian, can you tell us what the time period is you want to run these?
So if we were to do it at Brelby, we would probably try to stick with our original intended timeline, which would be in April. So okay. In the end of April into May. If we were using the amphitheater, we would be applying for like the first week in May.
Okay.
Depending on amphitheater availability, obviously.
But right now, your facility has that window open?
Yes. Okay. So we run our season January through December.
Okay.
So we are opening our Christmas show tomorrow.
Cool.
So I'm running from here to go frantically finish painting things. So we're getting ready to reset, clean up, and prep for next season, which we have a little more padding time built into next season than previous season, so we have a little more flexibility than we usually would. But currently that window is blocked out to make open and available for this show.
Okay.
What are the times again?
Like performance times?
Yeah.
If we were performing the amphitheater, in the past we've performed at 7 to make sure we can actually get out of there by 10.
Okay.
When we perform at Burrell, we typically start at 7:30, which typically accommodates people coming from day jobs a little better because they have time to get dinner.
Yeah.
But the limitations of the, for lack of a better word, curfew that exists with the amphitheater, having to be out completely by 10, we had historically bumped it to 7 o'clock. And if we did it theater, we'd also offer 2 o'clock afternoon matinees.
That's
on the weekend.
For 2 hours?
With
an intermission?
With an intermission, it would be, depending on the production, depending on the audience, it's a little tough to say this far before starting the rehearsal process, but it would run approximately 2 hours at most.
Okay.
2:20 at less, like an hour 50.
Okay.
But again, the nature of theater, and you don't really know until you start rehearsing and blocking and piecing it all together. With Shakespeare, you can cut as necessary. That's illegal to do with a published contemporary. Any other
more questions?
How will we find out about it? Like, how will the public find out about it?
Well, we have, we actually this year just sent our artistic director and 2 of our upcoming company member artists to the, I'm going to say the title of the event, but it was a arts marketing conference in Florida. And the 3 of them went to all separate sessions and re-met every day at lunch and dinner to compile notes. So they've come back with lots of new ideas. We have a media list, and we set up press releases for every show we do. We would be working with the city specifically, as it's a free event, to pump it out through city channels and garner additional support. We've been having some success with the blip billboards, where you can take out like 10-second spots on the billboards next to the freeways. We have a emailing list that's about 4,000 people strong from across the valley. We have 3,000 to 4,000 Facebook followers. We're active on all social media platforms. We guerrilla market like the best of them.
Awesome.
So.
Yeah, I'm on the receiving end. I didn't know if you had a specific approach for free program, because it was interesting watching the holiday one and how that was promoted just as a free event. I don't know if that was handled differently than when public pays for it at all.
So your ticket sales are mostly off of your website, right?
Yeah, so with our normal shows that we're not offering that are grant-funded or that are free and open to the public, we have our subscriptions, which are like members that pay a monthly fee and come to our shows, and tickets available. So they're sold through our website or at the door the day of the show. For free events, what we do is we put up a ticketing platform, so you can still go to our website to reserve your seat. If it's a limited seating situation, so you can go in and it's a 0-10, doesn't charge you anything, you just have to basically make a reservation, for lack of a better way to put that, to ensure that your seat is preserved for you, and check in, we'll call. But just like that, as people come in at the door, we'll check them in with a free ticket just to make sure we don't oversell.
So that's just the one area where it really needs to be
very, very clear,
very clear that those tickets are free.
Absolutely.
Before people even go into that prompt to purchase the tickets.
And we would, the moment it would be approved, we would be putting and we've worked with Michelle in the past to make sure all of our marketing material has that tag on there in partnership with the city or whatever the funding mechanism is, and making sure that's prevalent. Again, the benefit of this coming year is we're doing fewer overall productions across the year, so we can focus in more on each individual production and give it more lead time from a marketing perspective.
Awesome.
Thanks.
questions. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank
your
you.
Time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll take it under consideration.
Good luck. Thank you so much. I look forward to your feedback and approval.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I'm going to run and paint things.
have a good opening.
Yeah. Good luck. Break a leg. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Break a leg.
I said break a leg. I didn't mean good luck. Okay, new business item B as in boy. This is an action item, Centerline District Arts and Cultural Initiative Project Proposal Presentation from the WAM Art Association.
Yeah, we have Connie Whitlock from WAM Art Association here. So Connie, welcome.
We know Connie too.
Thank you, and nice to see you all again. I didn't bring a presentation either, sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
So you all have your packet, and you know about WAM, and WAM is, should I explain to some of those who, okay. WAM Art Association is a 501(c). We've been in business 7 years. Our home office or our home facility is in Surprise, right off of Grand, but we work all over the valley. And my concept of this organization was to supplement different cities' arts groups. We have 150 to 200 artists at all times, so we are a resource of many, many artists, and a lot of them are educators. We got our 501(c) as an educator, so we go out to many cities, Goodyear, Avondale, Glendale, Peoria, Elmiraz, Surprise, and we either do public art or we do little art festivals, but this particular concept is called WAM on Wheels, and I'm a child of the 60s, so it's kind of like a hippie kind of thing, but I always believe that if you can't bring people to your facilities, you go to them. So what we've created is this traveling art studio, and we take it to festivals, we take it to Cancer Treatment Centers of America, wherever we can be useful, and we open it up, and we teach art from it. Most of the time it's for children, but we, as you well know, while we were granted part of this Centerline grant for May of this last year, and we were in the downtown business district. We had about 120 people show up, and they made beautiful silk scarves. And so it was a Mother's Day event, and I think that most of them who came really enjoyed it. I'm excited to say that we do many, many different projects from there. I know Lorraine Zomack, and so she had said, again, there's more things down here. So if you'll see the three letters, I went to three different organizations that have festivals or something going on. One is your city, which has a movie night. And so all three of them had requested that we bring our WAM on Wheels. And they will all have something that's custom, if you will. For instance, Full Moon Lantern Fest, which is kind of interesting, they ask us, I told them the different things we do, they ask, it's the year of the rat. Mm-hmm. So we will hand make 200 to 300 rats out of clay, and then what we do is we glaze it, and then they're going to do what you call alcohol ink, and they'll decorate each one of those rats. The decoration and the actual, the people won't make it because obviously we have to make it in clay and put it in a kiln and fire it, so that's what we'll do on the sideline. And then you'll have this piece of tile or this rat, and they'll drop alcohol ink on it, and it gets all psychedelic and really cool, and they get to take it home with them. So they really like that. We are set up usually in a horseshoe configuration, and we can usually get about 30 people at a time. And sometimes they're standing in line to get to whatever we're providing. So we usually have at least 3 to 4 artists, two that are paid artists, and then we try to get some volunteers or some teams. We have a team art group, and it always gives them a little incentive too, and they get to work with the community, and so they come along, and then we help the community. We make the area very clean. We set it. We clean it up, and we set it up. We bring everything. We bring all the supplies: the tables, chairs, artists, banners, whatever you need. And like I said, we also Brian was talking about advertising. What's kind of interesting? we can't really advertise for the festival because we're a part of that festival or part of that group. But we have Facebook. We also have little flyers that we give out. But one thing we all are very good at is if people are out wandering around, we walk up to them. We say, would you like to, you know, do an art project? Come on over here and try this. So we're pretty good at doing that. We usually get very full real quick. And like I said, it's either from, you know, we can have a child as young as 3, but we like the parents to sit with them. And then we go all the way up to the parents can sit. So our activities will vary. For the, that's for the full moon lantern. And then for the, so there's 3 events that I'm applying for, and they're all in February. The next one would be what you call your Galentine's Day, and they want to do some kind of painting, and they want to have something that has to do with love and friendship and so forth. So we would have canvases, and it would take probably about a half hour and have 30 people at once, and then they're done, and we have another group come in. These are all designed to handle 200 to 300 people, so you have to understand, and most of these are 6-hour requirements. 1 is 5, but we have to have, you know, time to set up, time to clean up, and so forth. And then the I really haven't had a chance to really talk to April much with your city about what type of activity she'd want. But whatever the movie is, we can come up with something that would coincide with that movie. And again, we have professional artists who are the head of it or take the lead of it, and then we have other helpers that help with it for that day. I can't think of anything else really to tell you. I lumped it into the 3 asks, and each one is about $2,100 is what it's equaling. So I'm asking for $6,300. If you choose not to give all of it, we'll do whatever one you want, or we could do all 3 again. And the way I figured the supplies, it's anywhere from $3 to $5 depending on the event we do per person. So that's what it comes out to. And again, you can tell if we're hand making all these rats, you'll have to do it. If we do get that, you'll have to come and do a rat. But we're always up for the challenge, and it's fun. It really is fun. So we're doing more and more throughout different cities. I think we've got about 15 scheduled for our 2020 year already. So we put these dates on hold, just so you know that somebody else doesn't pay it. That's about all I can.
Thank you so much.
You're
any
welcome.
Questions?
So the rats, are you going to cast them or are you going to do them out of
cookie cutter?
Okay.
I bought
so they're going to be more two-dimensional.
They're flat. They're flat. Tiles.
Okay. They end up being
a tile. Yeah, they end up being a tile.
No, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
And then we glaze it so that it's clear. And then you put
that
this, if you ever know what alcohol ink is, you put alcohol ink on it.
And it spreads around.
It spreads all around.
Yeah,
they look really cool. Yeah.
So do you normally charge people to do these?
You know what? We've only taken the Wham on Wheels. I started this back in 2013, okay? And people don't want to pay. So that's when I said I would start going to the cities and saying, if you want us for an event, we'll do it free. If you have it free, they swarm all over it. But to ask them to pay, the answer is no. Now, we do classes with these different types of activities at our facility.
Okay.
For instance, I just did a clay class. Today we made little clay Christmas trees, for adaptive, for people there, and it was really a lot of fun. But we couldn't do clay, that kind of clay, out on the road. And the downfall of this is it has to be outside. We wouldn't call it Wham on Wheels, but we could do an activity inside somewhere and have as many people if it were like an inside festival or something. But to bring the whole, ambiance of it and everything, we do it outside. So like last year in May, we were really lucky. It wasn't very hot, but a lot of times it gets really hot, and we put up tents so that people had shade and stuff too, so that worked out. And then once in a great while, we've had wind be a problem, but we, try to take things down and take care of it that way, but most of the time it's outside.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments? Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
We
thank
appreciate
you so much. Thank you again. Appreciate your time.
We'll take it into consideration. Thank you. We'll go ahead and give Connie a chance to
get out of here.
Right. And then we'll,
thank you.
Nice.
Thank you.
You.
Take care. Yeah. Happy holidays.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. So I believe the next order of business would be to take these under consideration for the commission. So we'll wait for Moshgan and get our score sheets, and then we'll take them one at a time.
So are we outside the budgeting process? Because we went through some last year.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, that's the first question I usually have for her is how we're doing on the budget before we take action.
All right, I have forms.
The first question that came up, Moshgan, was how we're doing on the budget for Centerline.
So we have $20,000 left.
Okay.
And there's two sheets here for each one. If you don't mind writing the name of each organization on your form, please. And there's additional pens here if anybody needs pens. Thank you.
So take a few moments to review each of the categories, and then we'll take these one at a time.
If another application comes in, our limit is whatever is left from this, whatever you decide to grant tonight.
Right. And they obviously would have to complete everything by end of May.
End of June.
Well, I know, but usually...
Realistically.
Realistically, they have to perform by May.
Because new budget runs out
July 1st.
July 1st, right.
But if we grant both of these, it's $3,700 is what we're saying.
No,
$16,000.
Sure. Isn't it?
$3,700
would be left
out of 20.
Oh, okay, I got you.
See,
yeah,
that's
why.
So it would be a relatively small enterprise, whatever came forward.
Mm-hmm. So do you normally have the budget, or do you normally have all the money gone by?
Yeah, typically it's gone by say December, January, because we kind of encourage all the organizations to apply in advance so that there's time for marketing, because it takes time for us to go through our administrative system to get contract completed, requisition done, payment. So, and we also want to make sure that they have time to market it after they get notification that they have been selected to receive funding. So ideally, it's best to have time for marketing. For example, Brian's is great because that gives plenty of time to market that.
Yeah.
And if you have any other questions, Brian had talked about the venue.
I'm thinking that theater would probably be the best bet.
Their own theater?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because we have more people come.
So as part of this grant application, then you would have to specify the location.
So what are the centerline boundaries again, north to south?
Jesse.
Technically, the center line, and is that what you guys are using for what the grant is? So it's 43rd Avenue on your east, 67th on your west.
Right.
It goes up to Orangewood to the north.
So they're within.
It's either that or Myrtle. And then to the south, it's Maryland. Or actually,
that's
generally
safe
our region
too.
It's huge.
Yeah,
that's
I think
impressive.
They're south of Myrtle, aren't they?
You know,
Myrtle,
yes. Yeah, absolutely. They land right in
So they're within the boundaries.
Absolutely.
Well, we can discuss that. here in a second.
Do normally theaters, like, if they had someone else be in their theater to use it, they charge them a rent. So you almost get, like, you get the rent plus the...
So it's free, yeah. So then they don't have to pay rent. If they use the amphitheater, that's also usage of the amphitheater is free to for people who are performing free. The only thing is that the city charges a small staffing fee because there is city equipment and there's responsibility still to have Parks and Recreation who oversees that area. They typically require organizations and groups that use the amphitheater to also pay for some staffing time.
And I would think that the theater probably be more comfortable.
Oh, it is.
We went.
Yeah, I remember that
last year, and sitting in on concrete, you know, we didn't bring chairs. Mm. You know, you don't think of things like that.
And the one thing I noticed with that performance was sound wasn't great.
Yes, it was really hard to hear.
Yeah, he had. I think I counted like 9 bullet points of things of the benefits of, or actually the restrictions of the amphitheater. Right.
And
especially the bathroom thing.
That's huge.
The employee lounge is right there, and they can't even get in there, can't even access.
Another thing that inside that theater, they usually have a little snack bar. There's always a plus, too.
Yes.
That would be helpful for them as well as the audience
members. Yeah, and it's a really comfortable seating in there. It's nice. And it's small, so you can you don't have to worry about where you sit.
Yeah,
you can see it, and you can hear it.
Most of us have experienced both. And
I thought it was bigger than 7.
I mean, the amphitheater's cool, but I think based on the difference between what we get and the production value and the run,
I think we'll
probably serve more citizens if we do it at the theater, I'm thinking. Even though they only seat 70. You might get 70 at one of the shows at the amphitheater.
Yeah, that's it.
But it'll run longer, too.
That's the thing. I think we'll get more people.
And it's more intimate inside the theater.
Right.
So just a kind of a point of order, should I put that on the... Should we
vote
it up for discussion to get to the venue? Or
You can, if you're in agreement, however, is there just by show of hands who wants to see it at the amphitheater, who wants to see it at the theater?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's
and
take
then
a vote.
You can make the motion for the
theater.
All right, so just in preparation for a motion to consider Brelby Theater, how many of the commissioners would like to see the Shakespeare in Love production take place at Brelby Theater? Seeing all commissioner hands go up, I think we've got consensus on the venue. So at this time, I'll consider a motion and a second for approval of Centerline District Arts and Cultural Initiative Project Proposal grant funding for Brelby Theater Company for Shakespeare in Love.
Okay, is it Brelby or is it Barely?
It's
Brelby.
Because here
it's
it
Brian
says Barely.
It's Brian and Shelby, so
yeah,
it comes
it
up Brelby, but that must be a typo.
Yeah, in the organization it says Barely Theater.
That's funny.
I know.
It's in a hurry.
Yeah, that's funny.
He's opening tomorrow night.
It is Brelby. So anyway, I'll entertain.
So I motion to approve the Centerline District Arts and Cultural Initiative Project Proposal Presentation for Brelby Theater Company inside using the venue, the theater itself.
And I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Say nay. Hearing none, Brelby is approved.
Yeah.
Good job. Okay, the next item before us is consideration of the Centerline District Arts and Culture Initiative Project Proposal for the WAM Art Association, WAM on Wheels, for 3 venues. I think we need to have discussion about the 3 different events and if we're considering 1, 2, or all 3 of them before we move and vote. Is that everybody okay with that conversation?
Yeah.
Yep. Let's do it.
We'd like to start the discussion about. Seems to me the first 2 are pretty well fleshed out. The third one's a little bit vague.
The third one being the
movie night.
Movie nights are, I'm not sure what the attendance is.
Very small.
Are they small? Okay.
Very small. But that, the Harvest Festival, have you ever been down there when they do it? With the
Harvest
so much,
Moon?
Yeah, the Harvest Moon is so cool. It really is. It's fun.
This is not the same one, though, right? This isn't the same one.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh. Full Moon Lantern Fest.
This is a new one. Oh, okay.
So,
Yeah, the Harvest Moon in February doesn't make
sense.
Fall.
Yeah.
So this is a new one, yeah.
And I think this is their first time attending
this. Oh, yeah, okay.
And I believe it's being organized by the Catlin Court Merchants.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
I think that sounds like it's got potential. Certainly, the second one, too, seems like they've got it pretty well figured out. The third one, I'm just a little bit...
Yeah,
if I'm going to go see a movie, am I going to skip part of the movie to do the art stuff?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I'm a little vague on that one. And she doesn't have a good plan sketched out, in my opinion, at this point. It's been left up in the air. Is it reasonable just to say the first two make sense to us and the third one we would like to take a pass on?
Okay. So the first two are the...
So it's the, I'm sorry, let me find it here. I just
saw
it.
The February.
February 1st. The other one's the Galentine.
Oh, yes.
So that one makes sense.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I can really see that fitting. I'm just trying to figure out why, if somebody's coming down to watch a movie, that they're going to take time out for something like that.
In the letter here, it does talk about it's a pre-movie activity.
Oh, well, that helps.
We have a little bit more detail there, kind of in the back.
I haven't done the movie night, so I'll leave it to another commissioner that's attended them if we think that that's...
Well, I mean, the attendance seems to be small, but that's me. I mean, then I go by over there, so...
What kind of movies do they play?
Usually, PG.
Yeah, kids movies?
It must like...
Yeah, it's an approachable movie.
It might be. That's why if it was a kids movie and they had, Frozen and they made little Frozen things,
I could see them.
They don't have the plan, really. I could imagine a lot of things.
Yes.
I just wanted to add a little context because I know I heard people that said they hadn't been to the events.
Right.
In the past, for those movie events, the Mayor's Youth Advisory Commission has always brought their kids out as a kind of a donation of their time to do art projects with the kids. But it's brought out as a pre-activity. It's been put at different. I'm not sure if MIAC is willing to do that or if they're still doing that, but that seems to be one of the things that the kids have donated their hours to do. So it is something that's been incorporated in the past as kind of that partnership for movies.
Well, that's good to know.
That would make a difference.
And it might be worth the effort to say yes to it, just to maybe the publicity to bring people back downtown. If they knew that if they brought their children down, they would have this type of activity for them. So
I think it's interesting that they were asked to participate by the city of Glendale.
Yeah.
From the events people, you mean?
From the Glendale Special Events Division. They were actually asked to if they would be interested in doing the interactive art.
Okay.
My question on that one is, too, since I've never attended one of the movie nights, and you were saying the attendance is not always, do you know what the attendance is on that?
The letter says they average 50 to 200.
200, really?
So it depended on where the location was, the movie, and timing of what else was going on with it. So that was part of the reason why they were trying it in other parks. At one point, they had held them all at the amphitheater, and then they tried putting them in different locations. Some locations did better than others, obviously.
And is this location that she's proposing for the amphitheater?
Yeah, Murphy Park and Hilo Rogers Amphitheater.
Okay.
So that's 5 to 9 on a Friday night.
So what, you'd have, say, 5 to 6:30 for the art, and then the movie from 7 to 9?
Probably.
And what month are you talking about?
February.
February 21st.
Third week of February.
We don't have any rain.
I was just going to say, we may get rain now.
Yeah, and that goes for all the whammy.
Yeah.
So the rain could be a washout.
And everything's in February, so.
That's always a chance. I mean, you know.
But if the investment's in the goods, though, they could maybe transfer it.
Right.
We might be able to like work with them to do an alternative if they bought the goods and if we have a weather.
We don't know around here.
Well, I mean, you certainly presented some mitigating information to me, so I'm open to it, but I'll go with the will of the commission. Are we looking at the first two seem to have some popularity?
Like that, yeah.
The third one, where are we at on the third
that's
one?
That's a good point, that the city actually invited them.
Exactly.
That
so
really
yeah,
is a
that's,
strong
that
point.
Would be where I would go, just because they've been actually invited.
To support the city.
So I see consensus on the first two. Why don't we vote to see if we want to include the third event, the movie night? How's that? Mm-hmm. So all those in favor of including the third event to the first two, signify by raising your hand.
I'll say yes.
I'll go. Okay, so we're going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
All right, so now we've got an action item. So.
We should go to those movies, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, we always intend to.
I know.
So this is item B of new business, action item. I'll entertain a motion for the approval of the Centerline District Arts and Cultural Initiative Project Proposal Presentation for WAM Art Association for three events in February of 2020.
I motion to approve Centerline District Arts and Cultural Initiative Project Proposal Presentation, WAM Art Association, for all three events.
I second.
Being moved and seconded, all those in favor of the item, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Hearing none, that one's approved too. That's all our action items except for, that's all our action items. So now it's information from the arts planning project discussion. Okay. Oh, we do need to save the score sheets.
Yes, at your convenience, if you can forward those, that would be great.
Do we add
enough
attendance?
I added mine up.
We can. I'm sure staff will do it if we have to.
No one's ever
I was good at math. I probably wouldn't have been a firefighter.
Have a favorite for the paper.
Thank you.
Paper trail.
For the paper in this, absolutely. I have everyone's?
Yeah, here.
Thank you very much. All right, it's that time of the year again. It comes around at the blink of an eye. So it's time to talk about our arts projects plan. And we're kind of going into the city's budget process for FY 2021. And so as always, in preparation for that, we want to kind of get your thoughts on our community activity budget. So with that, we can move on to our budget. Our arts budget really has two parts. Part one is the capital improvement budget. And as a general rule, each year through the city's budgeting process, we get a set amount appropriated for us for our CIP projects. What are CIP projects? These are like our projects that go along with new development in the city, park improvements, the new library, the floor, the fire station. Typically 1% of the cost of the construction or more is dedicated to creating artwork for that project. This is the promenade at Palmer, the parking structure. The walkway there was by Lynn Besa as an example. So we have, in years past, the appropriation back in the good times when the budget, the economy was good, it was around $400,000 or $500,000 a year. During the lean years, it went down to, I believe, $100,000, $150,000. But we just recently had a discussion with the budget staff about, hey, our fund is growing in a healthy way. What about bringing that up to $300,000 or $400,000 a year? And of course, What that means is that every time there is a project opportunity throughout the year, if there is a construction project, say the fire department comes to us and says, hey, we have this new project, it's going to be built in 2 years, we will bring that to the Arts Commission. So the fire department administrator will come here, the director, and talk to you, the fire chief, I'm sorry, will come and present the concept to you of what they're proposing to do. The Arts Commission and the department and, of course, staff will be involved in the setting of the budget for that. And, of course, at that point, if it's over $50,000, we're going to take it to council, get approval for that total budget amount, to go through our process of finding the artist for it. That contract will go back to council. So you will be involved in any projects that are being budgeted out of the CIP, whether it's the beginning of the year, at the end of the year, in the middle of the year. So that project opportunity will come to you.
Right, and we don't have a front leader right now, and a lot of departments are asking or at least investigating what they could possibly use it for. We've been fielding a lot of questions, because now that we're part of economic development, people are more aware of us, and so we've been just fielding a lot of, we've been answering.
Yes.
A lot of departments about what they could possibly do. But a front runner hasn't come up, other than obviously the master plan.
Yes.
But that would not take $300,000. So there would probably at least one other project that can be done next year.
Absolutely. And so one of the things that you also don't need to worry about with the art fund, unlike the general fund, if the money is not spent, it stays in the fund. So it's not like, you know, with general fund, it goes back. You have to spend it. So you can go to the next channel, please.
Okay.
And part two, which is now our discussion is going to be all about, is our operating budget. So our operating budget includes our salaries, line items such as office supplies, and little, you know, mundane things like that that stay the same pretty much. They're not much. They're like $1,000 here, $2,000 there. There are different budget lines. What our conversation is going to be tonight is about our community activity budget line, which in past years, it's been kind of we've tried to keep it as lean as possible and still do a lot of community activities, but it includes things like purchase of the portable art collection pieces that we do each year, and interactive art activities, similar to some of the things we've done at the signature events where we've had artists interact with the festival attendees. Just some more examples, there's Saskia Jorda for the project at Chocolate Affair a couple of years ago. And of course our plein air competition, the prize money for that, which is the purchase award for the paintings, which is not a lot, it's like, you know, $2,000 thereabouts. Some more examples. And then of course our arts grants, those all come out of our community activity budget line. Temporary art installations, so some of the examples of our influx projects, yes. And of course, a favorite quote here at the end of the presentation from good old Picasso. And now, this is our proposed community activity budget. This is when, of course, this is a discussion. Any ideas that you have, typically, we used to make this really specific, like, $6,000 for Chocolate Affair, $4,000 for Glitter and Glow.
Oh, okay.
But we decided a while ago to kind of combine all of that into calling it community arts activities. And what that means is plein air comes out of that, any activity for any of the signature events will come out of that, in addition to any other community type of activity. Example of that is our current bench project we're doing, which Jana's going to give an update on at the end. But the bench project for downtown, the funding for that would be coming out of the arts community activities.
Because the benches weren't a new construction,
right.
Capital.
Right. And so in the past few years, that community arts activities, we've kind of kept it at about $20,000. And as you notice, we're kind of looking at upping that to about $50,000.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Because we kind of have opportunities now to do more things. Maybe start a downtown or just in general a Glendale mural project. So that would be kind of a pilot project to help initiate a project like that. maybe just continue the bench project. I mean, we are doing a little small section of that, but we can expand that to include some expanded areas. And then, of course, Ballet Under the Stars. The reason why I have that there is because I know a lot of people, and I can't name them necessarily right now, but they've brought up, why don't we do Ballet Under the Stars anymore? Years ago, as part of our grant process, they would apply for one of our performing arts grants, Ballet Arizona. They would receive $4,000. They would do an educational component with a school, a Title I school, and also do a Ballet Under the Stars performance at Soar Ranch Park. It costs them a lot of money. They do about four, five, six of these each year, used to, in different areas all throughout the valley, Fountain Hills, Tempe, Goodyear. And it came to a point where they decided they were going to downsize these and really request municipalities where the projects take place to kind of give some kind of an incentive to bring it back. Used to be $10,000, it's gone up to $25,000. That doesn't mean that money has to come directly from the city, but if there are any corporate donors, and the city, but their minimum ask now is $25,000 to bring that back, because it's a real expensive project for them. Just giving you some history of that, when we had it at Soar Ranch Park, it was extremely popular. It was attended, well attended, about 3,000 people would attend.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty good.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so there's a little video Jana's going to run. Is there sound to it?
Stars and the moon with hundreds of other community members. When you come to one of our Ballet Under the Stars performances, you can expect to open yourself up to a world of new experiences. We encourage picnics and all sorts of fun, family-friendly activities. The kids get up oftentimes in front of the stage and dance alongside the dancers. We are going to be in Phoenix, Goodyear, Tempe, and Fountain Hills. Performances start at 7 p.m. and are open to the public, and of course, free. Ballet can sometimes be perceived as being a stuffy, old, or elite art form, and it's really not the case. Dance is so relevant in this time. That's why we bring dance out of the traditional atmosphere so that people can feel like they are able to participate. Come and see the ballet at any point.
That's the time frame too, is September, where the performances take place. And we had a conversation with Ballet Arizona, and I let them know that if we're going to discuss this with you, if this is something you're interested in, we would roll the amount into our total ask for the community activity line item. But it may not actually be even possible for us to have them this September, only because they really need to know by like January if that's a thing that's going to happen. And I explained to them that we really won't know.
That's really early.
But it could be something that we can consider for the following year.
Right.
So again, the benefit of having to ask for that in this budget year is that we're kind of increase our ability to have projects,
mm-hmm.
but it's not really necessarily spelled out, because this budget line item is really going to be presented to council as a supplemental request. In that supplemental request, we're going to kind of name some of the items that will be coming out of this budget line. And Ballet Under Stars could be a potential for that, among, you know, the other things such as the mural program and things like that.
Is that an outdoor event?
It is an outdoor event.
Wow.
It's well attended.
I'm just thinking September is still could be
very hot. Like we had this summer.
It's warm, but they come out.
It's in the evening,
yeah.
And so it's really been the few years that it did happen here, it was extremely well attended and popular.
Yeah, it's scary.
And it's always been in September?
Yes, it's always in September.
Yeah. I know the Goodyear one was.
Yeah, you have
very
one.
Popular.
Right. So. So anyway, now let's open it up to discussion. Any ideas, any things you would like to see happen as far as community activities?
So I'm mad that I didn't bring it today, but I
was up in, I think, Prescott, and we were walking around the little studios, and they have really cool handouts or marketing pieces that have all the different art and little pieces, and they're like an accordion, and it kind of comes apart like that. And I thought how we have all these different public art things all throughout on display, and I don't know if we'd have to update it every year or something, but the just holding that and the quality of it, it felt like this is really important what I'm looking at. And it was like in a mall, you know, in Prescott, and I'm walking around. It's not really like, it's not like our whole city. So I'm sorry I didn't bring them because they're in, on my desk appropriately.
Okay.
But I just thought of how to get that brought up and maybe get it funded, because I'm sure that's not cheap to produce.
Right.
You can imagine. So I don't know. That was one idea.
Okay.
Not
yeah,
really
absolutely.
Around.
And see, and that's the benefit of increasing our spending ability from the budget line, because we know we can kind of consider those things as they come along.
So you know, before they sold the St. Vincent de Paul building, right? They were thinking of having a studio in the city, right? Downtown?
The arts incubator.
It's like an arts
any other
like a maker space type
yeah.
of a
So is the city,
that's always a possibility.
Is
that's
the city thinking of anything like that? Like, you know, trying to get an empty building or something to put something in?
That's always a possibility. That's always a possibility.
Because, you know, we always
yeah,
have First Friday out there, you know, from downtown Phoenix.
Well, one of
so,
the things that was an issue with the St. Vincent de Paul building,
yeah,
because of the
space.
To bring that up to code,
mm-hmm.
it would have been a costly undertaking for us, and that you know we would not have been able to like
no.
to pay for that from our budget. So,
have you been over there since they opened that?
Yeah,
it's really
it's a,
wonderful.
Yes, absolutely.
They did a great
job. They have like
job.
A Saturday market event too
yeah.
that they host there. So, they're the new owners are doing a lot of
yeah.
community related. Arts
mm-hmm.
activities and things.
Right,
so
yeah.
there's always room to have more
mm-hmm.
more things like that where we're supporting some of those events,
mm-hmm.
the Saturday events.
I always felt that we should have a higher budget for the Juried Fine Arts Show selection.
Yes.
I've always felt we need more money.
And we can do that too. That's always a possibility.
Well, that's
one of the issues we have there is like we really need to evaluate our existing collection and maybe just deaccession some pieces
well,
that
yeah.
are older.
We really do need to
yes.
do that. And that
yeah.
because we keep taking in more, you know, babies that need shoes.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we're running out of space.
Right.
So we really need to deaccession.
Yeah.
But I agree. It would be nice to purchase a few more, but it would be. We got to get that done. Maybe this summer.
Yeah.
What was the big one you guys were trying to find
did
a home
find
for?
A spot?
Oh,
no.
From the airport.
The
oh,
Ed
Mel.
Ed Mel piece.
Yeah. We're looking actually at the City Hall chambers. It's not though decided at all.
Yeah.
So how about the library? Is there more space in there for art?
No, we looked.
All right.
It's a big piece.
Okay.
And it's kind of meant to be viewed at a higher...
No, lower.
Lower
actually,
lower.
Lower.
Yeah.
It'd have to be put up too high here.
Yeah.
How long have we been at $2,000 for the Juried Art?
Yeah.
Several years
yeah.
since the economy went south. So we can absolutely increase
it,
that.
I agree with Mark.
Yeah.
Just an incremental
sure.
increase.
Right. What would
so,
you like to see there?
4,000.
4,000,
double it.
Yeah, double.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I could go along with it. And we could take some guidance as well from staff.
Yeah.
I mean, if some three-dimensional selections would help the collection. Because we don't, I mean, in my experience, we don't often pick sculptures.
Yeah, I think it's because traditionally we have a harder time placing them in
yeah.
city buildings.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that we maybe couldn't make one exception one
Yeah, I mean, who would have to maybe have a case built for it or something, you know, some
Does it? Do they all have to go into city buildings, or can we...
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't be like a Glendale community
no.
or art.
And ideally, it has to be at a location where it's publicly viewed.
Oh, okay.
Right. So,
the
community centers are so busy, like, having a 3D thing, yeah, we have almost have to put it in a case, and
okay.
and that's been a problem, but...
Well, I mean, that's just a question
from us.
If that would help.
There's been some that I'm sure that you've looked at going, maybe we need to do a little homework on possible locations.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that could be a kind of a synergy there between the accession of the current collection and an increase, you know, so maybe it doesn't have to happen this year. I don't know. We just think it probably needs to, I personally think it probably needs to go up.
Yeah, absolutely. We can increase the amount and then have that be the ceiling for it. And if you decide you want to spend less than that, that's fine too. Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. So the idea behind this is to just kind of think about all this stuff, and we wanted to kind of give you an idea of what we're thinking dollar amount wise for some of these, because as you see, the community arts activity, it's not really defined. It includes some, you know, obviously some interactive art that we will do with in partnership with the city special events and plein air and some of the other projects. It's the idea was to just kind of give you an idea budget wise to see how you feel about that. Because we are entering the budget process where we have to actually enter our budget. So it would require writing up a supplemental report to council, and wanted to make sure that that's the direction, maybe just kind of get some kind of a idea from you if that's the direction we should go, so that we have that in place. And then once all of this has kind of been decided, we'll bring this back to the January 9th meeting for a vote.
Quick question on Ballet Under the Stars. Are those other four cities committed this coming September? Is that what that video was?
Yes. So actually what Ballet Arizona told me, this was for this current year.
Oh, this current.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So from my conversation with them actually just today, they said that there is one partner that is not committed for next year, and they normally do by this time. So if we do get the funding for this, there is a potential that we could take that slot, but they couldn't guarantee it at this point because they may at any point hear from that or, you know, other municipality. So,
now would that be at the amphitheater or again?
It would be at the Swarm Ranch Park, yes.
What was the last year budget number?
The last year budget number, so this totals about $176,000 and I'm just kind of looking at last year's.
51 without.
So.
Ballet.
Last year, I should say current year. Current year, we had $5,000 for Influx, $2,000 for Jewelry Fine Art Exhibit, $44,000 for the Performing Arts Partnership Program grants. Community arts activities was at $20,000. Centerline District Arts and Cultural Activities, $50,000. We're just kind of changing the name of that to Downtown Arts and Cultural Initiatives Grant instead of Centerline for this coming year, but it's the same grant. So really, this is indicating the $30,000 increase in community arts activities and the request for the $25,000 for Ballet Under the Stars.
Additional $55,000.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean this. But it has been suppressed over the downturn in the economy, so those numbers make sense to me.
Okay.
So the general feeling is that we should move ahead with that?
If we can move up, considering the jury
try. We will do our best to get council to approve.
Move juried up, or at least keep that as a future consideration.
Yeah. Okay, good. So we'll get your official vote on it at the January 9th meeting.
Okay.
So that's all I have for you on this one.
We're going to talk about the benches then?
If you want to go through.
Okay, so I thought she was going to do it at the end of the information.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I apologize. So now we're on to staff updates, number six.
Okay, let's take a seat. Well, we have 15 artists who submitted 32 proposals. We have 20 benches. And the selection panel is meeting on Monday at 5 to 7:30, and they will decide or on their recommendations to you, and it will be up for your approval at the January 9th meeting.
you know, there'll be a couple interesting things. There's a couple, two of the benches have some interesting problems. It may be that, you know, the they may choose less depending on what they see and how well it fits each bench. One's a half bench. It's like half as long as the other ones. So they, as I was going through, and one is definitely a permanent campsite. It's a permanent campsite. So I think we're going to discuss those, and if maybe there's one that they want a particular design for that. I don't know.
Right.
So we might be, but it might get more wear and tear than the other benches. So they might have to look at the design of that one a little bit more closely. I was out there walking them and really, looking at them with a magnifying glass for any potential issues now that, you know, I've had a little peek at the designs. everything's ready to go for
that. That's on Monday, right?
It's on Monday. Sorry we couldn't have squeezed it in this last Monday so we could have it for you tonight, but we'll do it at the same time we're doing the new selections for the portable collection.
And Nicole Riley and Bernadette Bolognini are going to, thank you so much for being on the panel.
I can't wait to see what
I know
what it becomes. The proposals were beautiful.
Yeah.
Or you mean the
applications.
The applications.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not proposals, applications.
Yeah. So
thank you, Jen.
Thanks for doing that, you guys.
Yeah. So a couple updates I have for you for the upcoming events that have taking place in downtown Glendale. The Glitter and Glow, it's going to be on January 11th. And as part of that event, the special events team discussed wanting something that's kind of vibrant and moves around. So since we had the budget for that through our previously approved community arts activities, we kind of direct selected the group Rachel Bowditch with the Vessel group that performs Spectrum. And I'm going to pass this along to you. They're going to be performing with their kind of weave through the audience members, give it a photo op for people, and they're going to have their costumes are going to be lit for the evening hours. There's going to be actually 6 performers. And from 5:30 till 9:30 on January 11th in downtown Glendale, I will have parking passes for you at the next meeting.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Wow,
that is
awesome.
Parking passes will be available.
Very cool.
That is cool.
Rachel, they're striking. It's pretty
great.
Dr.
Dr. Bowditch is internationally known artist. She's the head of the MFA in Fine Arts. No, in Fine Arts at ASU, and she's got a lot of awards, and it'll be great. So, and the other update that I have for you is our plein air event. Because the Chocolate Affair is no longer going to be Chocolate Affair, I'm not sure if you've been aware of this.
No.
It's taken a different form. It's I think. Could you speak to that, please?
Yeah, no problem at all. So, and just some real brief history on kind of background of how we got to this point. There had been a conversation that took place with the city council that there was going to be the choice to repurpose those funds to do more than just a single event in February, and instead they were going to be using some of that funds to do music events in downtown Glendale for the entire month of April. And part of that was to really start to understand how we can use the funds for large mega events and really expand how many events can be done in downtown for the same amount of money. So there will be an April music festival that takes place with some of that funding, but council had asked, because there seemed to be a little bit of concern that was brought to council from constituents and otherwise, that they still wanted to have some type of chocolate event. So it's simply been downscaled to work within a different size budget. And instead of being in the park as a festival, they were going to do an event inside the Civic Center. So it's more of a chocolate and wine daytime event. There will still be a partnership with Soretta's Chocolate to do that. There will still be bus tours going back and forth. And at this point, the name of it is the Chocolate Experience. And so there will be chocolate vendors, there will be artisan vendors inside there, as well as candy vendors. And then at that same point, downtown does second Saturdays, all of the downtown businesses do, so it really couples with what those folks are doing already to help downtown from a business perspective. So that's just a smaller scale event. It's still a free event. It's not a ticketed event. It's just really kind of taking on a different mode versus being a festival, and instead bringing people into a different, you know, slightly higher end type event. So with that, that doesn't lend itself the same way as it had for plein air. So there will still be a chocolate event right around Valentine's Day. It will just not be the chocolate affair. It has grown up to the chocolate experience.
Thank you.
So for that reason, thank you, Jesse. For that same reason, we've moved the plein air event to the Folk and Heritage Festival. Mm. It'll take place on Saturday, February 29th. It will be the same rules. The artists can come in the morning between 8 and 10:30, register at the park, go throughout City of Glendale, paint, frame their artwork, come back for judging at 3:30. And as always, we're going to invite mayor and council to judge the Council Choice Award. And we'll have a professional artist judge, one to be named, to judge the remainder of the categories. And of course, those art pieces that are the winners will become part of our portable art collection, and will go on display on city walls. So I will definitely have parking passes for you at the January 9th meeting for the January 11th Glitter and Glow. Yeah. And of course, the Folk and Heritage Festival, not sure if our parking pass is needed for that. I should know more about that. That event takes place on February 29th and March 1st at Swar Ranch Park. But our event will be on Saturday of that day, of that event. And of course, Jenna, I think you have one more update?
Yes, since Influx was mentioned, we do have a design in process, although the artist is not quite under contract. We're waiting for our attorney at the city to sign off, but the artist is ready to go. As soon as they sign off, we'll get that signed. So it's possible that we will have a design for your approval also at the January 9th meeting. If it's not ready because of the legal things and everything that we have to get done because of the Christmas vacation, because we have to have the maintenance people and everybody look at it before we can bring it to you, we may need to have a meeting at the end of January or the beginning of February to accommodate that timeline. We're got our fingers crossed it'll be ready for January 9th.
Yeah.
The artist will have done his part. It's whether we get it through all the city approvals that we need to get it through because of the holidays. Okay.
Because once we've got him under contract and everything, and he provides us with his schematics, we will have to run that through building safety just to make sure that it doesn't have any issues.
He is wanting definitely to hang from the wall, so we are going to have some things to consider. I will have to say that we are getting, from all indications, we are getting more than we're paying for.
Wow,
out of this artist. And so, maybe a bit because he's self-funded and just starting, he's putting a little bit more into it. That is one thing with the budget. We're, of the cities, it's 5 to 10,000. We're paying 5, and some of the other cities are paying 10 for their artists. So we're there's a couple other cities that are also paying 5, but like East Valley's definitely paying more. So, but I don't think we have to worry about it for this artist because we're getting a lot.
Okay.
That's
all we have for you.
Thank you. At this point, move on to item number 7: commission comments and suggestions. Anybody have any comments or suggestions at this point? We've had a lot of interactions. Okay, seeing none, I'll move on to item number 8, next meeting. The next regular meeting of the Glendale Arts Commission will be held on January 9th, 2020 at 6 p.m. at Saguaro Ranch Fruit Park Fruit Packing Shed. Mm-hmm. Address is listed on the agenda, and I'm sure most of us know where that's at. So if anybody needs directions, please ask staff. And then I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn today's meeting.
Okay.
And I'll second.
Salute, seconded. We're adjourned. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Great job, everybody.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I need like a little 10 mark.
I am having a motion.